Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. It's Wednesday. I hope the week is going well, wherever you're watching or listening to this. Just 3 days away now till a huge weekend in the Premier League begins with that Manchester City trip to Fulham on Saturday afternoon. City, of course, going first this weekend. Arsenal having to wait until Sunday for that massive, massive trip up to Old Trafford for the game against Manchester United. We'll talk about that game a little bit later on in this show. We're going to talk about Gabriel Jesus's transfer rumours continue to fly around about the Arsenal striker. Give some of my thoughts on those. Got lots of questions and comments from you guys as well. So let's get started, shall we? And I thought we'd start with Gabriel Jesus, who I think as we get closer and closer towards the transfer window opening, stories about Jesus are only going to intensify, really. Mikel, obviously, in his press conference last week, was very, very sort of forceful in the way he said, look, I don't know where this stuff's coming from. Got no intention of moving Gabriel Jesus on, but those comments have not stopped the speculation. In fact, it has increased over the last couple of days. Rumours of a loan move to Brazil with Palmeiras. Palmeiras apparently knocking on the door, asking about a potential loan. We've got Saudi Arabia clubs sniffing around, according to other reports as well. Now, first of all, I think Gabriel Jesus is a really top player, and I've spoken about this in recent videos, and I just don't see why Arsenal would entertain anything like this unless someone from Saudi, for example, came and knocked on the door and said, okay, we're going to give you 50 million, I would say, for Gabriel Jesus. I don't really see why Arsenal would entertain it unless, and I've said this before, and I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, but unless the medical department knows something and the club knows something about this knee injury, that it's not going to get better, that there's, you know, it's only going to get worse, then all the focus for me on Gabriel Jesus this summer is on getting him fit and getting him ready for next season, because I think he's such a quality player. I think he's got so much to give. And I think what we've seen from Gabriel Jesus, certainly this season, is nothing compared to what he can perform, how he can perform for Arsenal. What we saw in the first 6 months of him at Arsenal, when he was fully fit, when he was sharp, when he was on it, when he was confident, that's the real Gabriel Jesus. What we've seen this season, and I don't think he's been terrible this season by any means. I think he's done some really good things this season. Even in the last game with the assist for Declan Rice, you know, he's popped up and done some good things, but we've not seen him anywhere near his best. And I think if he can have himself a proper pre-season this season, which might involve obviously having an operation as soon as this season comes to an end, making sure he's ready for when pre-season training starts to try and fix this knee injury one way or the other. And if you can do that and the medical department are confident that that will fix things, then you're keeping Gabriel Jesus. Well, I'm certainly keeping Gabriel Jesus, unless, like I said, a massive, massive bid, like a loan move to Brazil. When I saw that, I just thought, what on earth would be the point in that? It just makes absolutely no sense. Now, Arsenal need to make some money this summer. Of course, the club need to sell some players. They need to generate some revenue so they can add more to the summer spending that they're going to have. We know that there are players that certainly you look at who are very much earmarked for potential sales, but I just don't see why you'd have Gabriel Jesus amongst that list. He can play right wing, he can play left wing, he can play a central striker, he can play deeper if needs be. And I'm not saying Jesus has to be Arsenal's starting striker next season. In fact, at the moment, look, he's way behind Kai Havertz in the pecking order, deservedly so at the moment. And I don't see any reason why Kai Havertz shouldn't start next season as Arsenal's number nine. Obviously, there might well be a new forward. Well, I think there will be a new forward coming in the summer as well, who could potentially be Arsenal's starting number nine. So when I'm saying Jesus, all offers for Jesus should be knocked back, I'm not saying that's because he should be Arsenal's starter, but I just think the way you improve this squad now is to weed out sounds a little bit harsh, but, you know, get rid of some of the players who you're just not going to use. So you Eddie Nketiah's, for example. If Arsenal are looking to sell us forward this summer, Eddie Nketiah has to be number one on that list. Players who clearly Mikel Arteta is not trusting to give proper minutes to at this moment. Those are the players you need to move on. Then you bring in top quality players, and then maybe the players like Gabriel Jesus, they fill the void left by those players who you don't really trust at the moment. So instead of having Eddie Nketiah on the bench all the time, you have Gabriel Jesus on the bench all the time, who you can turn to. That's what Arsenal need to do. That's how they're going to continue to improve the squad. And that's what I think they should be doing. So, yeah, I would just, when I hear all the rumours about Gabriel Jesus at the moment, when you're reading or watching all the rumours and all the speculation about Gabriel Jesus at the moment, I wouldn't take too much attention to it right now. I think it will take a decent offer for Arsenal to consider selling Gabriel Jesus, and certainly a loan move to Palmeiras, which we're seeing in the headlines at the moment. I just don't see how that would even be under consideration. But let me know, of course, what your guys' thoughts are on that. Love to get your views on what you would do with Gabriel Jesus this summer. Moving on to that big game at Manchester United at the weekend. Huge game for Arsenal, of course. They're in training yesterday. Sky Sports News were down there. The cameras were down there. They picked up that Takehiro Tomiyasu was not involved in the training session. He was the only first team member of the squad not involved in the session, but word is that it's not because of an injury issue or anything that could keep him out of the game at the weekend. It's more that Arsenal he was just inside doing some training on his own, but should be fine for the weekend. And that just means Mikel's going to have a really fully fit squad to choose from. He's going to have some difficult decisions to make. He's going to have to leave some players out of his squad, just like he has done in the last couple of games. I don't see why he would make any changes really to this team. I imagine it's going to stay the same. I said it before Bournemouth at the weekend. I think that we're probably going to see the same starting 11 every single game now between now and the end of the season, unless someone gets injured. And obviously at the moment, it doesn't look like anyone is injured. So yeah, huge game for Arsenal on the back of that drubbing that Manchester United got at Crystal Palace on a Monday night. Sure, there'll be a response. There's going to be lots of headlines in the build-up to that game. Lots of pressure on Ten Hag. Interesting to see what he says in his press conference ahead of that game. No doubt he'll probably point to an offside for Garnacho way back in August or whenever it was at the Emirates, or the fact that Declan Rice's goal shouldn't have been given, or the fact that Rasmus Højlund should have got a penalty when everyone knows that he shouldn't have. He'll probably bring that up, no doubt, because he's brought it up pretty much every press conference since that game, but certainly going to be bringing up, certainly going to be fielding some questions on exactly what has gone on since Crystal Palace. And he'll want a response, and I'm sure there will be some sort of response from Manchester United. But Arsenal just need to worry about themselves and focus on themselves. If Arsenal play well in this game, they win it. I'm absolutely convinced, barring one of those days in front of goal where you just miss chance after chance, kind of like PSG last night in their semi-final against Dortmund. But if Arsenal play well and they're clinical, then they win this game because they are better than Manchester United. There is absolutely no doubt about that. It's just about performing on the day, and hopefully they can do that. Now, just wanted to flag this. This was actually quite a funny story yesterday. This went all over WhatsApp. Like, my friends were messaging it to me on WhatsApp. I'm sure you've seen it. The pitch is actually pretty small here. So if you haven't noticed it, this is Fulham players flying kites on their training ground yesterday. When it got uploaded on Instagram, there was a few players, including Willian, flying kites. And obviously Arsenal Twitter picked up on this, and it was all over the place. Like, oh, Arsenal desperate for Fulham to do in a favour against Manchester City on Saturday. What are they doing in training ahead of that game? Flying kites. Adding to sort of narrative, you know, Fulham are on the beach and all that sort of stuff. Now, Fulham players have come out after this and insisted, look, this is what happened after training, which obviously it was. You know, Fulham aren't going to be sitting there flying kites during their training session. But it was quite a funny story, and I'm sure you've seen it. And if you genuinely do think that that's what they were doing in their training, it wasn't. It was after the training session has finished. A few players are just out there having a bit of a laugh on the training ground afterwards. But yeah, it did make me laugh. And I'm sure, like you, a lot of your mates are sending you these these videos and these pictures winding you up. It's a huge game, no doubt about it. I still look at this as the game if it's going to happen, it's going to happen this weekend, because it's not going to happen against Spurs. It's definitely not going to happen against West Ham on the final day of the season. So I think if Man City are going to drop anything, which I don't think they will, but if they are, I do look at this Fulham game as the most likely option for that. So yeah, fingers crossed we get a very nice surprise on Saturday afternoon at Craven Cottage.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Right, moving on to some of your questions and your opinions now. Now, lots of you have been getting in touch in terms of what we were talking about yesterday with Victor Gyökeres and his comments about what might happen to him this summer, where he refused to rule out a move. We know that Gyökeres is a player who Arsenal have looked at, not saying he's at the top of the list by any means, but he's certainly a forward who they and plenty of others have looked at, given his incredible record for Sporting Lisbon this season. C-Lord has got in touch, says, I know what you mean about Gyökeres, Charles. Great season, but he turns 26 in less than a month. And before now, he only had a couple of decent seasons in the Championship, 17 and 21 Championship goals, respectively. What if this season has just been a crazy hot streak? Big gamble to take. The striker market is interesting to me, as everyone could realistically get has got at least one question mark over them, either injury history or if they'd adapt to the Prem, etc. It's why I might go for a younger, up-and-coming 50 million striker rather than a gamble 80 million to 100 million. Instead, I'd spend more on a winger this summer. I love the fact that now young, up-and-coming strikers now, that is £50 million. That used to be what Arsenal were signing Aubameyang and Lacazette for. It was about sort of between 40 and 50, and now 50 million gets you a young up-and-coming striker. I think you're right. I mean, it's what I said yesterday. I can't kind of get that out of my head about Gyökeres, that he's just had one really breakout season in Portugal. To spend the amount of money Arsenal would have to spend is a little bit of a, not red flag, I think that's the wrong way of describing it for me, but it's just there in my mind. But look, if Arsenal decide, they'd have done a lot of analytics, you know, a lot of data, that have all looked at him a lot. And if they do decide to go for Gyökeres and trigger that release clause, then I would absolutely back them in their decision, because they've given me enough success stories when it comes to the transfer market to trust their judgment in it. Yes, there's been some that haven't really worked out, but that's always going to happen. But on the whole, their recruitment has been very, very good. So if they decide that Gyökeres is worth that money, then I would back them, because they know far more about it than I ever would. But I still do have that question mark over him. Langlan, is that? I'm sorry if I've got that totally wrong. Says, hi from South Africa, Charles. Thank you for your good work. Thank you very much. Although I do agree with you that the price for Gyökeres is outrageous, I think he'd be great for Arsenal. The fact he was in the Championship, I believe, helps him, as he's able to translate to the Premier League. It's a tough league with a lot of games, playing against defenders that would kick all game. Then now he's played at a high level in Portugal and Europe to show his technical skills. But the price is too high. Yeah, that price does sound pretty high, but that's why clubs like Sporting will put in release clauses, because it kind of protects them. And then Mario is very right to point out that Jude Bellingham was a Championship player before going to Dortmund. He was, but then he did go to Dortmund and have a few, was it two or three seasons with Dortmund, where he was really, really, you know, an absolute superstar over there. More than one season. And he's younger as well, and he was clearly a generational talent. You could see that, Jude Bellingham. I'm not sure about Gyökeres, but again, if Arsenal decide on Gyökeres, then brilliant. I'll absolutely back that decision, and I'll be confident that it will be a success. But yeah, I still feel like maybe that money would be better spent, or safer spent maybe, elsewhere. Here's one from Mr. Kingdom 6683 says, "Hi Charles, do you think Arteta needs to win the Champions League or the Premier League to be considered an elite manager, or does pushing the City machine so hard qualify him as elite anyway?" It's an interesting one. I think he probably does need to win the Premier League or Champions League to be considered elite. I think to many people anyway, in many people's mind, obviously you need trophies to really be considered the best of the best. Even, you know, taking into account you're going up against Manchester City, which makes it so, so difficult. But I look what Arteta has achieved already at Arsenal. I mean, this season already, I think Arsenal won 26 games in the Premier League. That's the joint most they've ever won in the Premier League. So that's, you know, you're talking about the Invincibles. They won 26 in the season. Arsenal won 26 this season. I think if they win the next two games, they finish on 89 points. I think only two teams have ever finished with higher points than that and finished second in the league. And that was Liverpool twice under Klopp. So I think what he's doing is amazing and fantastic, and he deserves a huge amount of credit. And I think pretty much every club in the world will be looking at Mikel Arteta and think, yeah, you know what, we could quite happily have him as coach. So I think he's on the way to elite, but I do think to probably be considered it, certainly a lot amongst the sort of general public in terms of football, I think you probably do need at least one real major, major trophy in your hands to show for, to sort of move into that realms of Pep and even Klopp and Ancelotti and people like that, you know, serial winners in this competition. Ash here says, "Any fan who's overconfident going into this Old Trafford game must have been in nappies when Nani, Young and co put eight past us. I blame that awful blue kit. No way can we underestimate United's hatred for us. I just wonder whether this game is for Jorginho rather than Partey. Might be an unpopular opinion, but I'm not sure Partey gives us as much control when a team comes at us. Can become a bit more basketball game-like when he's making progressive passes, which don't always find their target. Either way, don't underestimate United." Yeah, look, I'm not underestimating United. They're awful. They're rubbish. I laughed at United so much this season in terms of how they play, how they're coached, how easy they are to attack against. But I will never underestimate United at Old Trafford, especially when it comes to playing Arsenal, because I've just had so much pain over the years. And you talk about the eight, you know, for the 6-1 in 99 as well. Just so many defeats after defeat after defeat. So I won't be underestimating them. I think that point about Jorginho and Partey is an interesting one. I do think Partey will stay in the team. I'd be surprised, as I said, if he makes any changes for this one. Maybe Jorginho does give you that little bit of extra control because of what you're doing when Partey's there and the risks he's taking with the way he passes. It does become a little bit more basketball game like. But I also look at Man United and I look at how easy they are to play through. I think you want Partey there to be able to split the lines, play that pass to Odegaard. And the way United have been playing recently, it was suddenly Odegaard will just be in on their back line the way they play. And I just think Partey is the perfect player to be able to find those players who are going to be in space against United. So yeah, for me, I'll be sticking with Thomas Partey. Kay Shady says, we won at Old Trafford in 2020. Orba scored a penalty. How can you not remember? Yeah, that's obviously in response to what I was saying yesterday. I do remember that. What I was saying yesterday was that I've never seen Arsenal win at Old Trafford, as in I've never been there when Arsenal won. I wasn't at that game. It was in the middle of COVID. I was watching it at home. So I didn't, you know, I wasn't there to break my duck when it comes to Arsenal winning at Old Trafford. That's what I meant yesterday in terms of actually me being there in person. I've never seen it. But of course, I do remember that game, the Mohamed Elneny masterclass in midfield just after Thomas Partey had signed as well. Young Smug Dealer says, "Hi, Charles. Great content as always. Could you envisage another Ramsdale-esque situation this summer with Arteta replacing someone everyone thinks will be a first-team regular next season?" Can I envisage it? Yes, because it's Arteta and he's ruthless and he showed with Ramsdale last season if an opportunity arises in the transfer market, he is not afraid to do something so ruthless. But I do look at Arsenal's first team right now and there's not too many in there who I could imagine him sort of moving out the door. At the end of last season, when I looked at where Arsenal potentially needed to upgrade to go to the next level, Ramsdale would always have been in my mind. I didn't think it would happen, but he would have always been in my mind, and that's maybe an area where he can improve. I look at Arsenal right now and I think, where do you out and out improve in this team? You know, and in terms of sort of bombing someone out to bring someone in, I don't know, maybe on the left-hand side. But even then, I just think Martinelli's not had a great season. But, I wouldn't surprise me next season at all if Martinelli gets back to his best. I just think he looks a bit off it at the moment. And injuries haven't helped with him at times. You know, I don't see him doing anything in defence, really, where he's going to bomb someone out. You know, he's definitely not going to Declan Rice or Martin Odegaard. Midfield potentially, but I don't think that's going to be a Ramsdale-esque situation. I think everyone's probably expecting him to do something and bring in a midfielder. So no, I don't really see it, but again, when I talk about when it, you know, when you talk about Mikel, nothing would overly surprise me, but I don't quite see that one coming. And lastly, here from the Mad Rambling Podcast 7228 says, "Hi Charles, much has been said about potential summer targets. Just wondering what your thoughts are on outgoings to balance the books, taking into consideration that we need to actually pay for Raya on top of needing another backup keeper, see below, and a six if Partey can't stay fit, to name a few. For me, outgoings would be Eddie, Ramsdale, Nelson and Vieira. Also, I hate to say it, but I can see ESR going. That's got to be at least 100 million there, right?" Yeah, well, when it comes to Arsenal and transfer fees, who knows? And also, clubs don't have much money at the moment. We know that. And when you talk to agents in and around the game, everyone says this transfer window could be a bit of a slow burner, shall we say. So we'll wait and see on that. But in terms of outgoings, look, the players you've listed there, I don't think Vieira, I'd be surprised. I think if Vieira's going to go, they might look to loan Vieira just to get him some minutes. I'm not sure they're totally ready to cut their losses on him yet. And I don't think there'd really be a market for Vieira at the moment. I think he probably needs to go and have a good season playing week in, week out to really generate a market. So I'm not sure they would. Mate, again, if a big offer came in for him, then obviously that's something they consider. I think Eddie will go. I think Ramsdale will go. I'll be surprised if he doesn't. Nelson, I think, will go. ESR, I think, will go. But it's easy to say, are they going to go? But you need buyers. That's the thing. You do need buyers for these players. We can all sit there and say, oh, they're going to go. He's going to go. He's going to go. But you need someone to actually come knocking. I do think people will come knocking for Eddie. I do think they'll come knocking for Reece. I think they will for ESR as well. Ramsdale, surely there's going to be a bit of a market for, you would think. You know, even someone like Zinchenko, I think it's definitely there'll be a decision to make there if a bid comes in from maybe a top European club for Zinchenko. So, yeah, I think in terms of your question, just wondering your thoughts on outgoings to balance the books. I think you're probably going to see four or five go. But who they are just depends on what money comes in. It's as simple as that, really. And I know it's a really simplistic answer, but that is the case. There's only, as I've said before, probably, seven or eight untouchables in this squad. Everyone else has got a price, and it just depends who comes knocking and what that, and if they get near that price. And if they do, then Arsenal will be willing to engage in a conversation. That's how I view it ahead of outgoings in the summer window. All right, that's it from me, everyone. Thank you very much for your time. As always, appreciate it, whether you're watching or listening to this. I'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again. Anything you want me to discuss in tomorrow's show, let me know in the comments below with your questions, opinions, anything like that. I'll pull them together and get them included in the show. Until then, have a fantastic day, everyone. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.